Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
Welcome to today's episode of Relatable Finance. Today we're going to be talking about presidential elections, specifically how the market has performed in the past around elections and during presidential terms.
So get your popcorn ready, folks. Turn off your cell phone and crank up the volume. We are talking politics, the economy, the stock market, so someone is certainly bound to be upset by the end of this. Shane's been over here doing jumping jacks to get ready for today's festivities. In all seriousness, we want to preface this episode by saying that we are not trying to tilt one way or another. We are simply reporting the data and how that data has looked over previous election cycles. As we will see, there are many things to consider, so the data can be interpreted in different ways depending upon one's political views. So instead of listening to this podcast and trying to glean which is better or worse, try to think of why things happened the way that they did.
So let's look first at stock market returns during the years of a presidential term. So this is a question we've been getting a lot lately with the election coming up. So we look back to 1900, and we looked at the 4 years during each term. The best year has been the third year, which right now would be 2019, and historically the third year has averaged about 11% a year. The second best is the fourth year or the election year, which would be next year, 2020, and has been up about 9.5%. The second year, which in this case would be 2018, has averaged about 4%. And then lastly, the first year, which would have been 2017, has been the worst performer at about 3.4% per year. Broadly thinking about this, some can be explained by presidents doing what they want in year one and two after being elected, and in years in three and four, turn to getting the economy to run better and increase their chance for re-election.
Yeah, so from a political strategy perspective, this makes sense. Markets do not like uncertainty, so if there is something major on a president's agenda that's questionable or controversial, it's likely to come out in the first year. For example, Obama announced the Health Care for America plan in January 2009, which later became the Affordable Care Act. President Trump signed an executive order calling for tighter tariff enforcement in March of 2017, setting the foundation for the trade war we have today. By announcing these early, it gives presidents time to adjust and recover should the policies prove to be unfavorable politically or economically. These policies also tend to create some uncertainty, which may explain why years 1 and 2 tend to be lower in terms of performance, and then years 3 and 4 tend to be a little bit better as we get closer to the next election.
So next, let's look at actual election years, as that's what we're coming up to. So looking back to since 1928, there's been 23 election years since then, and in 19 of the 23, the S&P 500 has been positive, or about 83% of the time, which is quite high. Two of the most recent negative years were 2000 during the dot-com bubble and 2008 during the financial crisis. Before that, you have to go all the way back to 1940 to have a negative election year stock market performance.
Yeah, well, we all know from the prior data that the fourth year, which is also the election year, tends to be relatively strong, averaging 9.5%, the second strongest. But what about market volatility leading up to the election? This is not talking about performance, but rather the ups and downs, the volatility of the market, which tends to pick up leading up to the election. In fact, historically, market volatility has started to pick up around August and lasts through the election as uncertainty grows over which candidate will win. This makes sense. As we have discussed before, markets are forward-looking and always digesting new information. With today's constant news feed, and particularly leading up to election cycle or the election day, that news feed is really strong. Also, given our bipartisan political system, the difference between candidates can be significant. As always, different people view information through their own lens. So even though we are receiving some of the same information, we can interpret it differently depending upon our views.
There's also a lot of talk about which political party has done best for the stock market. This is a topic that many disagree about, mostly as to what time frame you should use to calculate this. The easiest being from when they enter office to when they leave. But one perspective that I think makes some sense is to look at the effect the president has on the market starting afterwards, such as 2 years after their inauguration and lasting about 2 years after their time in office. Who holds political office doesn't always directly affect the market. Where we are in the economic cycle when a president takes office could influence the market more than the actual president in office.
Yeah, so this is a really highly debated topic. The data shows that historically, stock markets have performed better under Democratic presidents. Again, not leaning one way or another here, just reporting the data. But there are different studies that reach different conclusions, as there are many things to consider. For example, when do you start the calculation? The day of the election results, or when the president actually take office? Also, certainly the president's policies can't be effective immediately. So do you lag the analysis by 1 month, 1 quarter, 1 year, or even 2 years that Shane mentioned earlier? How do you take into consideration the situation the president inherited? For example, the Panic of 1837 occurred at the beginning of Martin Van Buren's presidency and will go on to impact his entire term. President Obama took office with an unemployment rate of 7.8% and would eventually go up to 10% in October of his first term, something that greatly influences stock market performances actions by the Federal Reserve, which has a dual mandate of full employment and stable prices. Jimmy Carter came into office with really high inflation. Donald Trump came into office with really low inflation. So the inflationary environment had an impact on Fed policies, which also impact stock returns. So while policies and politics certainly have a role to play in the economy and how the market performs, where we are in the business cycle and the underlying fundamentals of the economy play a role as well.
So back to some of the performance numbers, which once again are just the data. We're not trying to sway one way or the other. But the worst one-month return after an election was President Obama at negative 16%. Once again, hard to believe that the market dropped 16% purely from him taking office, and more likely because we were in the middle of the financial crisis. The worst 12-month return after an election was President Roosevelt at negative 33%. Both of these happened to be Democrats. It's also interesting to point out that returns 1 month after a Republican is elected tend to be rather strong, up about 4%, which we also saw with President Trump's election when he was up about 3.8% 1 month after election. However, historically, returns have started to wane over time, with returns averaging 10% 12 months after an election for Democrats and average negative 3% 12 months after a Republican victory. In fact, historically speaking, once again, only using the data, not opinion, the stock market returns have actually been stronger under Democratic presidents.
Yes, to add a little bit more context to those numbers, only four presidential terms in the past 100 years have created negative stock market performance, with three of the largest all being Republican: Hoover at minus 82%, Nixon at minus 28%, and George W. Bush at minus 26%, a Democrat, Jimmy Carter, being at minus 0.7%. So those negative numbers certainly have an impact on the numbers that were reported earlier. Also, the positive numbers have an impact as well. The top was Republican Coolidge at 230% over his term, followed by two Democrats, Clinton at 229 and Roosevelt at 198. Again, these have big impacts on the overall numbers that we reported earlier.
They definitely do. One other area that we looked at that has shown a large difference in post-election returns has been whether or not an incumbent is running. Back to Joe's comment on uncertainty, when an incumbent is running for re-election, there tends to be less uncertainty than when the field is open. The data we found goes back to 1952 and tracks the Dow Jones Industrial Average. During election years with an incumbent running, the Dow has returned around 10%, where the years where it was an open election, the Dow has actually lost about 1.6%. Again, some of this can just be bad timing, such as 2008's poor market performance being during a year where there's no incumbent running, but the decrease in uncertainty definitely is one area that makes sense.
Yeah, so at this time, we are a bit away from knowing who the opposing candidate is going to be that's going to challenge Donald Trump in the next election. But as we get closer, we're going to have a better idea of who that is and what policies they're going to try to implement and platform that they're standing on. But something to take into consideration here as well is the nature of our democracy. Oftentimes, candidates will campaign on ideas or policies that they believe will be popular and help them win the election, but in reality are impractical in terms of actually implementing. This is important as it tends to weed out some of the extreme types of things that candidates may run on from time to time.
So as a recap, we just wanted to show some of the past market performance around presidential elections and throughout presidential terms. Uncertainty is one of the main areas that we've seen an increase of during an election period and can certainly make a difference. But overall, the market has tended to do well in election years. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Relatable Finance. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at podcast@provwealth.com or check us out on Twitter @financepodcast. Thank you.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors and Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA, and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision. It does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.